Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for so many gifts that you give us, but most especially for your love that you show and shower upon us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Today's passage from Isaiah begins with the word behold. This is a good word for us to begin with as well. Behold, look, pay attention, for something wonderful is going to happen today. Many wonderful things are going to happen today. Behold. The first of these wonderful things is Epiphany. Now, the season of Epiphany, which we've just entered, is often dwarfed by its neighbors. There's no kind of pivotal event like the Nativity or Christ's Passion. Along with that, we're sort of entering the doldrums of January, and it's cold, and the sun doesn't come out very often, and, you know, it doesn't seem wonderful. It seems, well, ordinary. But let me convince you that this, too, is a wonderful season. Normally, an epiphany will use this greeting. It's a quote from Isaiah. The celebrant will say, I will make you as a light to the nations. And we will all respond that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. That's good news. That's something wonderful. In these Epiphany days, we celebrate that Jesus came not only for some Jewish shepherds, but also for the Gentile kings. Right? And this promise in Isaiah, that's part of our opening acclamation, his salvation will reach to the end of the earth. We are all aware that our world needs his salvation. So this Epiphany news is wonderful indeed. The second wonder of today is that we also celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And in this, we moved pretty quickly. Last week, we sang, for the gospel acclamation, we sang, Glory to the Newborn King, right? The babe in the manger. And now we have a man standing on the shores of the Jordan, about to begin his ministry. At first glance, his baptism might feel like more of a curiosity than a wonder. John is in the wilderness. Crowds have gathered before him. They're drawn by this person. They're interested in what John has to say. John looks upon them and he calls them a brood of vipers. He sees before him a selfish, cheating people. And John invites them to be washed in his baptism of repentance. He calls them to turn back to God. So then Jesus arrives on the scene. And the curiosity is that Jesus does not need this baptism. And John knows it, right? Prophet that he is. Who is this one? This one is coming who is mightier than I. One whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. One who has nothing to repent of. And yet baptized Jesus is. When we look again at Luke's telling of it, Luke's pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. Verse 21 reads, And when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized. Oh wait, so it's happened already. It's come and it's gone. Right? There's no behold here. Not yet, anyway. I think it's when we start to ask, when we start to wonder why is Jesus baptized that this wonder comes? Why does he submit to John, this one so unworthy? Why does he stand among this brood of vipers? Why does he identify with such sinners? These questions, to me, seem quite similar to ones we might ask 3 years later in his ministry. Why does he submit to the chief priests in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why does he stand silent before Pontius Pilate? Why does he hang on a tree? In his baptism, Jesus humbles himself and identifies with us, the sinful. He empties himself once again as he did in his birth. He takes on the likeness of men, this great brood of vipers that we are. And bearing the likeness of sinful men, he is buried in the waters. And in this, his baptism foreshadows his death. And so this then is no mere curiosity, but a great wonder. This is one of those moments in Scripture where the past and the future kind of collide and invest this moment, Jesus' baptism, with great significance. All these things come to mind. When he steps into the Jordan, we think of the chaotic waters of Genesis 1. We think of the wrath of the flood in Noah's day. We see water as a place of death and judgment. But we also see the Red Sea. First as it rages, but then as it quiets and it dries, and Israel walks through it. They are redeemed by these waters. Jesus emerges from the waters of his baptism and the heavens open. Luke doesn't use the word behold, but it's there, right? This is one of those moments. God descends upon Jesus. A voice comes from heaven, and we hear, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we can't help but look ahead. And we can't help but see Jesus emerge from another place of death. We can't help but see him stand in a garden, seen by Mary Magdalene, who wants to grab onto him. She knows as well he is the beloved Son of God. In his baptism, all these things collide. All these things come together. And so on this first Sunday of Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of Christ because he is revealed to us as one who stands in solidarity with us, the sinful, but as also one who can and does redeem us. He has passed through the mortal waters. He has put death to flight. And as he stands on the shores of the Jordan before John and before this brood of vipers, he is revealed not just as a man, but as God. All of salvation history is captured and foreseen in this moment of his baptism. Wonderful as this is, there is even more wonderful news for today. Because this moment on the Jordan, when he's baptized, looks not only ahead to his resurrection, but it also looks all the way to today, to this very place. And it looks upon a little boy who is currently being rocked so sweetly in the back. Jesus' baptism looks upon Will Young. For today, as soon as I get out of the way, we will all witness the baptism of Will Young, and salvation history will be played out before us once again in this moment. And so on this wonderful occasion, I have three words really just for you, Will. Three words for Will Young. The rest of you can kind of zone out if you want, or not. Maybe they'll be helpful for us all as we reflect on our baptisms. The first word I have is behold. It stands there right at the beginning of Isaiah 42. Little Will, you, like the rest of us, we'll have much to behold throughout your life. Even right now, you're pretty busy beholding things. Those three essential baby things, you know, they're there on the surface for you, eating, sleeping, and, you know, the rest. But look at his eyes. He's beholding this beautiful ceiling of ours as well. And now he's beholding all of you. There's much to behold in this world, little Will. But there's more to come. Soon, you'll be as old as your big brother, Ollie. And you will discover baseball. Your dad's going to say to you, "Behold, Will, baseball." And pretty soon, eating, sleeping, all the rest of that is going to be put aside while you behold baseball. And then, not too much longer, you will become a teenager. And you will realize that about 50% of the human population is worth beholding. Who knows what words teenagers will use 15 years from now? But you'll look on these wonderful creatures called girls and you'll say, "Wow, that's something to behold." And if that doesn't seem complicated enough, a few years later, you'll have something else to consider, something else to behold. Will it be IWU or will it be Baylor? Or will it be Taylor? Maybe these guys will have some influence. Little Will, life will bring you so much to behold. But amidst it all, there is one concern that stands center. One thing that God presents to us. Look again at Isaiah 42. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." The beloved of God stands on the banks of the Jordan and before the empty tomb, and he calls us to look to him, to behold him. Will, when you want to know what humility is, behold the one who does not cry aloud in the streets. When you want to know what compassion is, behold the one who will not quench a faintly burning wick. When you want to know what faithfulness is, look to the one who will not grow faint or be discouraged. When you want to know what justice is, behold the Lord. But don't fear, little Will. Beholding the Lord as central does not mean that you have to become a monk. Now you could and you might, and that would be wonderful. But you don't have to. You can live in this world with all of its things to behold and still keep the Lord as central. Look again at Isaiah 42. In verse 5, we see that it is the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it. In verse 6, he is a light to the nations. Little Will, see all things through his light. Little Will, enjoy eating, because it is he who created us. It is he who's given us smell and taste and made us creative and given us so many wonderful things to try, even broccoli. Enjoy these things that the Lord has given us. And little Will, enjoy baseball. And when you run and jump and slide and you run the bases and this adrenaline comes through you and you feel this joy, know that it is the Lord that's given you these things. It is the Lord who's made you like this. And little Will, when you become a teenager, and you are awakened to things that boys are awakened to. Be patient. Hold off. And in time, you might see one of these strange creatures given to you by the Lord as a true partner, bone of your bone. Little will behold the Lord and behold the world through his light. My second word for you today is belong. From today on, little Will, you will belong to the Lord. In a few minutes, Fajo, as Will's big sister Faye calls him, Fajo will pour water over your head. And he will say the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you will be set apart. You will be marked as one of God's own. The sign of water will be a tangible assurance that inwardly you are dead to sin. You're going to be buried in these waters like Christ was. And you will emerge to a new life because he has died and he has risen. You will be united with Christ. Little Will, you belong to Christ. Does this mean, Little Will, that from this point forward you will not give in to the power of sin? Sadly, no. You will hurt yourself. You will bring pain to others. You will sin against the Lord. Hard to imagine this as we look upon this beautiful baby. But think on this. In his great mercy, the Lord will invite you again and again, as he does to all of us, to turn back. Because he now is your Lord, and he will have dominion over you. You are set apart as his. Listen to what Big Brother Paul says in Romans 6. From this day forward, this day of your baptism, you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are not under any law, but under grace. Live under his grace. We celebrate with you today because most of us also belong to the Lord. We have been marked, and now today we have a new brother in Christ. We will have a new brother in Christ. We are all connected, bound together. And this means we must support one another and encourage one another. This is especially true, Little Will, for your parents and for your godparents. For the next years, you will be the ones that he looks to first. But Little Will, remember your parents today. Because in obedience, they will stand here and present you to the Lord. In faith, they will stand here knowing that the Lord alone can redeem you. This whole thing, the baptism and all the rest, is God's work. And so, as Christians have done since the first centuries, your parents will hold you up with great anticipation, not just wishful thinking, but true resurrection hope. That one day, with your own voice and on your own two feet, you will confirm your faith in the Lord. You will rejoice in what the Lord has done today. But it's not only your parents that have a role today. In fact, all of these big people around you, little Will, or in front of you, they have a role to play as well. We will be asked during the baptismal vows if we will do all in our power to support little Will in his life of faith. Will we show Jesus to little Will and to one another as we are all baptized in Christ? Because from today on, he will belong to us as well. Little Will, behold the Lord because you belong to the Lord. Now guess what? My third word for you, my little friend, also starts with a B. Isn't that cute? Little Will, you do not only belong to the Lord, but you are beloved by the Lord. A few years ago, we, Annika and I, had the privilege of hosting a previous bishop of our diocese at our house while he was visiting the church. And he and his wife came over to our house later in the evening, and we had them in for tea and cookies. And pretty soon it was time to put my three little girls to bed. And as we kind of say this aloud, the bishop says to us that his practice had been in life with his little kids, every night before they went to bed, as they were lying in their beds even, he would make the sign of the cross on their foreheads. And he would say, "My beloved daughter, with you I'm well pleased. My beloved son, with you I'm well pleased." What a beautiful practice. What a way to fall asleep, knowing that you are the beloved of the Lord. And this is the gospel, isn't it? That Jesus, who came, stood on the shores of the Jordan, stood before the empty tomb, was called the beloved so that he might turn and call us his beloved. Praise God. Little Will, you are the beloved of the Lord. And we celebrate that with you today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.